You're watching Let the Quran Speak. What happens after Hajj? We'll be discussing this now. How should our lives change, whether we've gone to Hajj ourselves or witnessed relatives and friends returning from the journey? How can the experience of Hajj serve to guide us in the larger journey of life? Here to answer these questions, Brother Shabir Ali. Brother Shabir, we've seen many people coming back from Hajj. We may have gone to Hajj ourselves. How does this change our lives? I mean, we know that when people go to Hajj, their sins are forgiven. So what happens next?
I'd like to summarize that in 3 points and relate them to the three words in the three letters in English that form the word Hajj.
Okay.
H-A-J. It's spelt with a double J, but we'll ignore that for this. So the H I would like to emphasize is for humanity. That's one of the important lessons of Hajj. When the pilgrims go there and perform the sacrifice, they are instructed in the Quran in the 22nd chapter, which is also called Surat al-Hajj, to share the meat to poor and needy. So there is a deep sense in which the Hajj inculcates in the mind of the believer the sense of duty towards humanity in general. In fact, the Hajj was instituted for human benefit, and the Quran says that people should go and perform the Hajj in order to witness the benefits which God has placed for them. So we need to come back from Hajj with that deep sense of humanity. So the H for humanity, the
okay.
A. I would say the A is for awareness of God, because this is emphasized throughout the Hajj, throughout the pilgrimage. One goes from one station to another. All of these places are imbued with a strong sense of the presence of God. And the Quran says repeatedly that you remember God. Remember God during these sacred days, in 2 days, in 3 days. Remember God at this site, at that site, and so on. So the pilgrimage is really about awareness of God. And third, the Hajj is about judgment. Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the J part, yeah? So the pilgrims do move from one station to another, to begin with, they leave home saying words of farewell to their friends, their dear ones, asking people for forgiveness. And many actually leave home with the sense that maybe they will not return. And even in the present situation where people, have a strong sense of security and safety and travel and in visiting foreign countries and so on, nevertheless, many still leave with that strong idea that perhaps they may not return.
Mm-hmm.
And if God might take them during this trip, then this will be all for the better. So there is a strong connection between the Hajj and the Day of Judgment and accountability before God and returning to God. The male pilgrims are required to wear 2 pieces of unstitched clothing, and that reflects the simplicity with which a Muslim will eventually be buried. And but when Muslims go to the pilgrimage, they move from one place to another in quick succession. First Mecca, then Mina, then Arafah, then Muzdalifah, then back to Mina, then back to Mecca. So there is constant movement, and this, in a way, reminds us of the movement on the Day of Judgment, when there'll be throngs of people all called up from their graves, ready for the judgment. And then the judgment doesn't begin, and that creates a great deal of anxiety. According to Muslim tradition, the people will be going to one prophet after another, asking them, beg God to start the judgment at least, so at least we know where we stand. So they go to Abraham. Abraham will defer, and they go to Moses. Moses defers. They go to Jesus. Jesus defers. They go to the Prophet Muhammad, and then he prostrates before God and asks God to start the judgment, and eventually it begins. But this constant movement and not knowing where you're going to be next and what's going to happen, and you must move to the next station. This is what the pilgrims are going through, and it's reflective of the Day of Judgment. So to me, it's the three main lessons.
Mm-hmm. So how do we reflect those lessons in our life now moving forward?
Well, first, the humanity. When pilgrims come back to real life here in the real world, they need to interact with humanity and serve humanity,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that this is a duty of Muslims in general, but also should be characteristic of one who has performed the pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm. And then when they're in Hajj, they engage with Muslims of all different colors and shapes. in a way that, you know, reflects their equality. Right?
Exactly.
And they put up with differences, they put up with annoyances.
Yes.
In ways that perhaps we're not used to doing, living our everyday lives. So that should also be reflected in the way pilgrims behave.
Absolutely.
After they come back.
So that's the H for humanity, the H of Hajj. The A of Hajj is for awareness of God. A Muslim pilgrim should now show that he is aware of God. And we can't be fully aware of God all of the time, 24/7. We are human beings, we slip up, we fail, we forget, and so on. But in general, the life of a one who has performed Hajj should show that this person is aware of God. It's not something that he did once and came out of, but something that is transformed his life forever. And the J of Hajj for me is the judgment day. And the pilgrim should govern his life in such a way that reflects his strong awareness that he will appear before God on the day of judgment to answer for every action that we have performed, whether small or big. And so we should be on guard for ourselves to do what is right so that we don't have to answer for what is wrong.
Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that a pilgrim's sins are forgiven. How does the pilgrim move forward to ensure that, you know, they keep a good record after the Hajj?
Well, the pilgrim obviously has a strong incentive to keep that record clean, knowing that, you know, he or she has expended all of this effort and all of this money and time to go there and get this done in the first place. You don't want to come back and now fill your slate with evil things. So the incentive is strong, and the preparation now in Hajj will hopefully get the pilgrim in that direction so that one does not commit sins wantonly. And for the sins that we do commit inadvertently and occasionally, we always ask God for forgiveness, and we believe that those sins will be wiped out as well.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you give to someone who didn't go to Hajj? Maybe saw other people going to Hajj but didn't do so themselves.
Well, the Quran itself says that it is an obligation that God has placed on humankind to make a pilgrimage to this house for those who are able to make the journey. So if we were not able to make it now, perhaps we'll be able to make it on a future date, and we should have that intention and pray to God to give us the means to get there and make the way safe for us. If somebody is not able to physically go but they have the financial means, they can sponsor another person to make the pilgrimage on their behalf. And the worst case scenario, a person has neither the physical nor financial means to make the pilgrimage. Well, in that case, the person is not required to do so, but still, one should have some respect and admiration for the sacred sites. The Quran says, وَمَا يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُمْ min taqwal qulub, that is certain. Whoever has reverence for the places where God is remembered, that certainly is from the piety of the person's heart.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of their own life journey, what are your thoughts on how the Hajj could affect them, given that they haven't gone, but they've heard stories, they've, you know, seen other people come back? What are your thoughts on that?
Obviously, the impact will not be so the same for an individual who hasn't actually made the journey. But yes, one can read books about the pilgrimage, find out what the pilgrimage sites are about, talk to the pilgrims who have gone there and done that, and have a sense of connection even without being there. It is related that from the lives of some saintly persons from within the Muslim tradition, that just as the pilgrims are not allowed to wear perfume during the days when they are so immersed in their devotion to God, and not to be distracted by anything else, such as simple things like perfume. There have been saintly persons who did that and followed the similar sort of restriction, even though they were not in the pilgrimage sites. I'm not saying we should do that, but just the fact that some people were willing to go that route shows us that we can be at a distance and yet we could be very strongly related to what is going on at the pilgrimage sites. When we fast on the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, the month in which the Hajj is performed, which is the day just before the Eid is observed, that is in collaboration with the time when the pilgrims are standing on Arafah and they are beseeching God. So we are connecting with them. And when we perform the sacrifice on the day of Eid itself, we are actually doing something similar to what the pilgrims are doing there at Mina, at one of the Hajj sites. So the connection is still there, and Muslims everywhere should feel the impact of the pilgrimage.
All right, thank you for that, Brother Shabir.
Welcome.
We'll take a break. When we return, we answer questions we've received from you, our viewers.